Good morning, good evening, whatever time zone you are in. What's good, everyone? I'm Delta, your humble host, coming back at you one more again for another midnight prayer watch. All right, y'all, we are so excited. Today is such a very special event for Midnight Prayer Watch. I know if you've been tracking with us this season, we have been having some very exclusive guests that have been joining us on the tower at midnight, and this is no different today. So without further ado, you already know I'm so excited. I have been so just blessed to have this brother in Yahushua be a part of my life. He is come at a point and in a season where we know it's for such a time as this, and we know that there is something that happens in the body. We are knitted together and we don't even know it. Like, there are times where he and I talk and we're like, hey, how do we just be on the phone for this long and we haven't even talked in a long time? And you know, the only way that that happens is because there's a connection in the spirit. There's some kind of electricity that's taking place. And so this brother is the founder of the XBGLO. Let me say it right, Brother P, the XBGLO Union. And he's always in the background doing things, and you don't even know he's a part of the movement. He's a part of the shaking that's taking place in the spirit, because he is on assignment and on mission and is always inspirational to me. So I want to just go ahead and bring on our very special guest today, none other than the only Brother P. Yeah. Brother P, what's going on, Brother P? Tell the people you what's going on, where you're hailing from, why are you here today?
I'm coming from, definitely from the kingdom of Yah, in the name of Yahshua. I'm located in Cross the Track, South Carolina, Hardeeville, South Carolina. I just got back from Houston, Texas, and I just feel good. I've been doing evangelism basically for 20 years. And a lot of people, they be like, man, what is that like? I said, well, I don't know. I've been married for the same amount of time, and I've had kids, 10 kids in that amount of time. So I don't know what it is compared to other evangelists, but I feel good.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. That's a lot going on, Brother P, in that same amount of time. I just want to say for our listeners on Wisdom, he did say 10 kids going on at the same time that he pressing into the things that Yahushua has. So
yeah,
he's been busy, y'all, more than busy. I think the kids say booked and busy. So Brother P, I know we're talking the other time we were discussing kind of you coming on and gracing us with your presence and allowing the spirit to flow. And today's conversation is really going to be talking about sports and entertainment, which I know that was one of the things we talked about, that we were like, oh, that might be something that we need to bring on Midnight Prayer Watch, because a lot of people are in this kind of, well, let's call it what it is, worshiping sports teams, athletes, celebrities, all of this, and they may not know that they're doing it. So I wanted to kind of just give you the floor to kind of just unpack for us, what is it about sports and entertainment where people are in that space of, they're on the verge of idolatry, Brother P.
Yes. Well, and for the most part, in this day and era, because America is so blessed financially. We have free time to have sports and entertainment. So if your country doesn't have this amount of wealth in it, your main concern is not going to be any type of thing, television and movies and sporting events. It is going to be daily survival through gathering food and keeping shelter to stay warm or to stay cool or whatever. Your entertainment is going to be you gathering that food or keeping your family safe from the elements and the wild animals. So it's because of the nature of our country to have been so, I want to say, financially blessed or have so much wealth that we have time to entertain the foolishness.
Ooh, foolishness is right. Mm-hmm. You got to call it out. Call it what it is. Mm-hmm. I know that might have hurt somebody's heart just now, but it is what it is what we like to say here on that prayer watch. So what do you think, brother, as you're diving into a subject that seems to be kind of hands-off, maybe even a little what they call taboo, even, you know, in those circles. What do you think about why people have those things so close to them where they're like, you can't touch my celebrity. You can't touch my favorite sports team. We just were going through what the Final Four ended last night, and everybody's out here with the Blues and all this kind of stuff, and they got all of the kids running in the streets like they don't got no act right. What are your thoughts on that, Brother P, just from a don't, hands off, don't touch, don't try to come over here and act like I got to give this up?
Yeah, it's a priority thing, because me, myself, I didn't even know it was a Final Four last night. And why? Because I just don't tune into it. And I'm a former sports fanatic. So 84, graduated from high school, I was involved in three sports. I loved the Olympics. I loved every type of sports that came on television and live. I enjoyed everything live. But it's like my life went, and then I went to entertainment. And I went to entertainment for all those years. And at the age of 34, I get saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Spirit. And my attention went, you know, for me, it went into this thing that had happened to me, this anointing, the word of God, the scriptures. I hadn't had it. I've been starving for this thing and not knowing I was starving for this thing. So when I finally got the scriptures, the word of God, the relationship with the Most High through his son, that was my football. That was my basketball. That was my sport. So, and then I had a family. So now I've been given a wife, and this stuff about a wife is in the scriptures, because it tells you a man is to leave his father and mother, join a sports club. No, it don't say that. It says cleave to his wife and they become one flesh. So when you start having children, I don't care if it's one or five or 10, you about to be busy with them kids, especially when they little. And it don't stop, because I got a 19-year-old, and we deal with him. We worried about him. He in another state, but we trust God with him. But it just don't stop. And it won't stop, because you're going to have grandkids. So this thing about family is really a church thing. What we call the church is really a family thing. But our priorities get off. And if a person is not in Christ, he can be into anything. So your Christ is going to become like, you know, the Dallas Cowboys or the Washington Reds, used to be the Washington Redskins, or your basketball team or whatever, baseball going to be your idol. You're going to throw yourself into this thing all the way. You're going to get sick when the season is over. You're going to can't wait till the season begins. You're going to get depressed when your team loses. All of these things that shouldn't have no effect on your emotions are going to cause you to go through. I seen people cussing people out when their team loses, and they go and they just be having fun at first, but then you could tell this ain't no fun. That ain't funny. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So, but they joking each other like that. So this is because this is your idol. And the sports, usually it's because it's a distraction. The distraction is keeping you busy so you don't concentrate on what's real. And what's real is now, in some instances, fantasy. So reality is a fantasy, and fantasy is a reality, because the redemptive value. Now there's, it's good that you're out there running and staying in shape and all these good things, but that's a modern thing. You didn't have to do that back in the days, because that was your existence. Your existence was staying in shape just to, you know, grow that crop, just to bring that, do that fishing. Fishing is a not no regular activity. You got to work to get that fish in that boat. You got to work to get them crabs in that boat. And you don't say, I don't need crabs no more, but you got to work to, if you go hunting, it's a J-O-B, it's a job. So if we only have to drive, now we go and we work a job 40 hours a week, we get money. And now we go to a grocery store, you'd be like, oh, that's a blessing. But what if the grocery store stopped? What if the fast food restaurant stopped? You can't do that no more. You're like, man, it's kids today don't know that the burger came from killing a cow, or the Kentucky Fried Chicken came from cutting the head off of a chicken. You'd be like, ew, that's nasty. But that's because we're not in a reality based on the real world. So when they're talking about the end times and all that stuff, or not the end times, the current times in Syria, in Iraq, Iraq, Syria, Afghanistan, these people have been blown back to prehistoric times. So if you go over there, you may see rubble and all. So they're not concentrating on no basketball, no baseball, no football. They're trying to survive. Yeah. So yeah, it's basically idolatry, and sometimes it's just a flat out distraction.
Yes. Oh, that's so good, Brother Pete. I agree. And like you said, you said in the book, it doesn't say you're supposed to go out there and be about your sports team when you leave your father and your mother.
Yeah, man.
You have to cleave to these what is it, the Tar Heels and the Kansas Jayhawks. Mm. Gotta cleave to them. No. And I told Brother P, I grew up in the DC metro area. So being a Redskins fan, and what I used to say was, I bleed burgundy and gold, and having this revelation that this group, this association, this sport was taking up so much of my time, where I was literally creating a schedule around the games, or I looked around and my house was decked out in everything burgundy and gold I could get my hands on. I had socks. I was all the way Redskins down to my socks. I had so much gear. And so Brother P is not, like, he is definitely not out here just saying what he's been through, but that's like the awakening that takes place in the spirit, where Holy Spirit gets a hold of you and it starts telling you and ministering to you, like, hey, you know, you could be out here doing some things that about my business. If you wasn't out here trying to watch the game, or you wasn't out here spending money for this gear that then isn't nobody going to reimburse you for this thing. So this is one of the things too, Brother P, I just had a question from our prayer watcher community, because of course, being someone that grew up around that, like, that was home team. I know you said you were in that area too, like that Doug Williams era was like, you know, it's legendary being out there.
Yeah. I'm still proud of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I still love that fact.
How do you get to that point? Like, as a sports fan growing up, this is kind of from your perspective, how much pressure did you face where in that season, in that era, where everybody and their mama was on Doug Williams' bandwagon? Yeah. I mean, even people that wasn't in DC was like, we don't care, we still going to support this man and this franchise. How did you feel with the pressure of having to be a sports fan?
Yeah, there's nothing to it, because we were raised that way. You know, when Doug Williams won that Super Bowl with the Redskins, I was on cloud nine. I was like, the first half, I was so upset because we wasn't winning. And then all of a sudden, he came back. It's almost like I think he got injured in the second quarter or something. Came back third quarter, killed him. It was like, boom. It was like everything was good. The house exploded. And you didn't have to be a Red Seeker because Doug Williams winning the Super Bowl was bigger than even football. That was dealing with racism because of the thing about black quarterbacks and leadership. So this spilled over into another craziness in America, this false race system that we have over here that's based on a social construct, but it has become a reality. So a white man in America is now a reality. A black man in the world is now a reality, but there's no such thing in the scriptures. You are parts of nations. So, but they created these things for whatever reason. It's a supremacy type thing. And now you said you're white. Now you got black people, got white people in their family, but they take positions as though these people aren't related to you. You know what I'm saying? So we were brainwashed. It's mind control, but it goes back to things like eugenics. So the reason why football is big and now, and they don't want you concentrating on eugenics and decreasing the world population. You're like, this is a real thing that happened back then with Margaret Sanger that now has turned into Planned Parenthood. So ain't nobody trying to concentrate on why we got so much abortion, people willingly aborting their babies. Abortions is a sport. So you're like, how did it get to that point? Well, it goes back to eugenics. So if you go back to eugenics and you create, and it goes further back, it goes to Charles Darwin. This is our education. So our education, they created a classification system not based on the scriptures, but based on a outer appearance classification system. And we as black people know for a fact that in this so-called thing called black, we have relatives who look as white as the whitest person you ever known. And we got black people as black as the darkest person you ever seen. And this is in the same family within like grandfather is the dark, dark, dark black person with kinky hair. And the grandchild would look just like blue eyes and blonde hair because of right. intermarriage and stuff. So what has happened is that thing has become a reality. At the head of it is devils. At the head of it is devils. So the entertainment business that and is definitely not of God. So at the head of it is demons, demon spirits. You'd be like, but the world don't believe that these things exist. So if the media itself is pumping to you that this is real, throwing a ball around is real. Oh, that's what you should be. You should fight your life from 9 years old, 10 years old, 11 years old. Blood, sweat, and tears on the field, baseball, hockey. Dudes is breaking bones over this. And people are like, is that real? I thought the only what's real is joining the military and risking your life. Why would you risk your life in hockey and football and baseball? Why is it that deep? Why isn't that just something we do after we get off from work or when we finish with our business? How did it become you paying a man $50 billion or $1 million for 5 seasons? Now he is a god, because if you have, let's just say $8 million, an $8 million contract is nothing that's too out of the ordinary. If you got $8 million today, you are a god in this world. You are god in America. And I don't mean a big god. I'm talking about ye are gods, but you are God's men. Psalms 8. But you, if you go to these other countries with that money, you are literally going to be worshipped. Anything you say that you want will be available to you because of the money. So they've created a system that causes people to worship people, and not because of your mentality, your mind, or your anointing or anything like that. So the system is not of God. So because it's not of God, I don't care how good it was in the beginning, how you know, saying we created the system to help the young people in the inner city. And I said, if that system goes on for any amount of time, it's going to crumble. And even going back to what we dealt with, how we met through the fraternity systems, when it began, they probably had big grand ideas of community service and helping the community. 100 years later, it has digressed to the most base things. And people say, how does that happen? I say, because it's not founded upon the gospel of Jesus Christ. Anything that is talking about how you're going to live your life that's not founded upon loving God with all your heart, mind, and strength, and loving your neighbor as yourself, is going to end up being something that's going to degenerate. It might look good on the outside, but on the inside, it's going to be dead man's bones. And this is what we have. We have a system that looks great. It seems great. It produces great. Like say, you become a good athlete, you might have to learn some good sportsmanship conduct. Like it's a young guy who played for the Detroit. This guy was humble. Barry Sanders. I ain't never seen this. His brother is so humble. And sports helped produce that, and his parents. You know what I'm saying? So you have something. It's one guy who played for Florida or somebody, but this is the guy that bought 100 homes for 100 single women with kids. He's then bought and built 100 or so homes. So there's great stories that come out of this. But the bottom line is, what is the purpose? What is the purpose? Because like they says, you could gain the world and lose your soul. Because the end game is soul salvation. The end game is the kingdom. I'm talking for the saints. For the saints, the end game is soul salvation. So when God gives you talents, and I don't mean singing and playing football, I'm talking about when he puts his anointing, the purpose of the anointing in you is to bring more people to Christ. Any football player who really gets about the business of preaching or ministering the gospel, he's treated ostracized. Tebow, when he tried to do it, they just going off on him. Because the system won't design to preach the gospel.
No, they shipped them off to Canada.
They get you out of there. I'm telling you, do something.
Colin Kaepernick, everything that you're thinking about, they're going to find a way to get you out of there. Brother P over here dropping them big old jewels on them. Our midnight prayer watch. Y'all don't even understand. I mean, we haven't even gotten into the jab. That have permeated through both sports and entertainment. We haven't even got to that point, and we definitely haven't started talking about this slap. So I know I want to hear what Brother B got. I haven't heard it yet. So I want to hear what he got to say. But we're going to give him a break so he can drink a glass of water and get fresh, give us that fresh excuse me, impartation. And we're going to come back to you, Brother B, after we give our sponsor a quick shout out for this special episode that's powering our opportunity to have Brother P online with us.
What's up, Prayer Watchers? It's Delta, your most humble host. And I just wanted to give a quick shout out to today's sponsor, Smart Travel Jewels. Why not take that long-awaited summer vacation with a group instead of just by yourself? Smart Travel Jewels offers group tours and excursions that are all-inclusive and give you an authentic experience while exploring a new country and making lifelong friends. Visit smarttraveljewels.com to learn more about upcoming trips and start planning your next adventure today. Visit Smart, S-M-A-R-T, Travel, T-R-A-V-E-L, Jewels, J-E-W-E-L-Z.com.
So, Brother P, we have to get into this slap. I'm just saying. I was going to text you and be like, oh, did you hear about this? Because I didn't hear about it when it happened because I didn't, you know, we don't watch that kind of stuff. But I wanted to hear after social media blew up about it. And then I caught a meme or two of just people commenting on what happened. What is your take on this from an entertainment perspective? And why are we still talking about this slap?
Because it's probably fake. It's probably fake. And see, there's a slight possibility it might not be fake. But just like anything else, it take time. But in that time, say if it take 5 months to realize this was just like that Smollett boy. You remember the Smollett case? Imagine if it take a long time. In that time, a whole bunch of foolish conversation is going to go forward because people are going to be fighting on both sides on who, what, how, did we, blah, 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 but she did it, he did it, had it. And but they don't know the real story, because from my experience with Hollywood and with people in general, they only put in public what they want the public to know. I don't care how bad it seems or look. See, when I looked at, I know my own life. I put a post up this morning that said, closed relationships have problems, but open relationships is a problem. Yeah. Now dig what I'm trying to say. A closed relationship, I'm talking about relationships in Christ, husbands and wives who are equally yoked, who both love Jesus, they gonna have problems. But they have the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, fellowship and all this stuff, people supporting them to help them get over the humps in their 20, 30, 40, 50 year, 60 year relationship. Open relationships is a problem because there is no definition for it. You can do whatever you want to do. And with out of Will Smith's own mouth, he says, she wanted me to be happy and I wanted her to be happy. Mm-hmm. Happy is not it when it comes to raising a family. Now, joy, peace, love, long suffering, this is it. But you're not going to always be happy. Mm-hmm. And this happy in the open relationship, everybody who ever been with women and men know what that means. So, when I look at the situation, I saw they showing all this stuff about Jada. I said, they ain't showing nothing about Will. I said, that's all fake. I said, that's what we call damage control. So then when I see Chris Smith get smacked like that, and he take it like that, and I'm like, man, that looks straight like acting. We done seen enough movies. We done seen, that's a good actor. Will Smith is a great actor. Jada Pinkett, Jada Smith is a good actor, good actress. Oh, that was a big old drama. We just saw a drama, and you'd be like, well, what's the purpose of the drama? Well, we might not know that right now, but the word is going out because they was trying to push a new word on us. Apolesia, what's that thing about hair loss?
Alopecia.
Now, I wasn't looking at the Oscars. This thing came across the timeline, and then I looked at it, and that was the first time I ever heard that word. I'm pretty sure I'm like a whole bunch of people who've never even heard that word before. But now the word is trending. And at the same time, Pfizer has a medication in trials to deal with that. And people saying, is the game that deep? I said, no, it ain't deep at all. This is about money. And don't put it above or below nobody to do anything as wicked and stupid as that. So when I saw that man, I've been in fights before. I've been hit before. When I saw that man turn around and smile, I was like, no, that's all fake. I said, so there ain't nobody going to be telling me, I'm not about to get in an argument about Augustine and Jada, none of that. I'm about to, when I know all of this may be, they, like I always said about, let's go to Donald Trump and Obama and George Bush. Oh, I don't like you. And everybody fussing and fighting over the right wing. And them people are in the Trump Towers having a medium rare steak, laughing at every Hillary Clinton and up in there. See, when you start dealing and understanding that the enemy has a kingdom, just like Yah has a kingdom in this earth realm, and it's his people, the enemy got a kingdom too. And it says Satan's kingdom is not divided. So when you understand that as a watchman on the wall, you can't get carried away with what you see on television, because that's all part of the brainwashing and the mind control. All Will Smith has been doing, hopefully he gonna wake up and give his life to the real Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach. Hopefully Jada and Chris Rock, all of them give their life to Christ and start walking right. But the world will not reward you when you walk in with the real Messiah. Not like that. So I look at the situation as a total drama, no different than the movies they play. He played the role of Hancock. He played the role of a demigod. He played the role of a fallen angel's child around here, just having superhero powers. And nobody know what's going on with the movie because it's a little comedy in it and all that. He played Men in Black to let you know it's a movie about demon spirits manifesting where you can see and touch them. But the world's like, oh, that's all fake. No, the movie's based on reality. It's the reality or the so-called reality. And this is what it's all about. So Dan Brown wrote a movie called Angels and Demons. And his first movie was Da Vinci Code. Yep. Nobody knew. They thought Dan Brown got this book out of his imagination. He didn't. The guys who wrote the first book, Holy Blood, Holy Grail, sued him for copyright infringement, but they didn't win the court case because Dan Brown called his book fiction. Their book is non, and I read their book cover to cover. Their book is nonfiction. They wanted to know about this Mary Magdalene. Is it really true that Mary Magdalene and Jesus had a baby, and this baby's family has gone on to become the royalty of? See, it's some truth in this thing, but it ain't because Jesus got with Mary Magdalene and had no baby. And this is when people start to say, oh, snap, there's a whole ruling class down here who do not worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, even if they go to church every Sunday. Have their weddings up in big old cathedrals every Sunday.
Every Sunday.
I'm not playing no more. Listen, let me see. 20 years ago, I woke up. Now, I had gone through the Nation of Islam, studied the Nuwapians, all of these things. And then I came into a relationship with Christ, grew up in the church. So when I came back to my Messiah and learned about the Hebrew roots and all that stuff about that, I was like, hold up. You know what? Y'all can't get me with them Easter egg hunts no more. Y'all can't get me with them Christmas trees, them tooth fairies, none of that no more. Because I didn't just wake up to the fact that I am the light of the world because Jesus is the light of the world. I also woke up to the fact that there's a history behind a truth and a history about how we came to be American followers of Yahshua. And that story, the church, our modern church, especially in the Black community with the slave tradition in the South, we do not want to teach our people how we ended up with these Bibles and these traditions. Because anybody still, I got family, right? Not my family, I'm talking about family, my city, they all preparing for the, we ain't got to worry about no Super Bowl. They getting ready for the Easter egg hunt. We got Easter egg hunters who claiming they ain't Christ. They be like, no, they ain't Christ. They just don't have the knowledge of what that is. So to them, it's just fun dressing up and getting the big Easter. Now the baskets are so big. Go on Walmart. The baskets are going to be so big. Easter is now rivaling the 12 days of Christmas holiday that the Catholics instituted, that we, it is now rivaling that. The Easter bag is this big. And your kid feels so great getting the Easter bunny basket. They'd be like, but daddy, what about this rabbit and these eggs? So they got us distracted with the football, the baseball, the basketball, the hockey, the Olympics that came directly from the fallen angels and stuff like that. They got us into all of that so we don't concentrate on the traditions around our church fellowships. Because if we wake up about that and start saying, Pastor, why are we paying tithes? That's going to get back. Sit down and go to the football tailgate. You talking too much. These tithes is mine. Don't you got a basketball game to go to?
Yeah.
Don't worry about the tithes. God gave that to me. Like, oh, I thought he gave it to the Levitical priest.
Thank you.
I thought the priesthood changed in the book of Hebrews. And now we are the part of the order of Melchizedek priesthood, which is the royal priesthood. Oh, so who are the priests? The question is, who are the priests? Do I have to do anything to become a priest of the Most High Yah? Yeah, you got to do something. You have to turn from your wicked ways. It says, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves, seek my face and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then I hear a word from heaven and heal the land and forgive them of their sins. I might got a little piece of that a little back, but that's the gist of that. In order to see the kingdom of God, you must be born again. It's like, I'm gay. I was born gay. I said, I believe you. But I'm going to tell you this. You can be born again.
Brother P, you walking good as my significant. Hey, you are walking good, Brother P. I don't know if y'all caught that. He done dropped, I don't know, like a continuous amount of jewels at the same time. I don't even know where to jump in there because I just want him to keep going. But I'm saying, like, I completely agree, Brother P. Distraction was what I saw when I saw that. It. I mean, I didn't see it. I saw the replay and I was like, well, did nobody see the space? Maybe I was looking at it in the spirit, but I didn't see no contact.
He might have hit him with them fingertips. See, right. See them guys probably if what I'm saying may be true, because it might be real, but if what I'm saying is true, it was acting, and he may have hit him with his fingertips, and they practiced that thing. The thing about it is, most likely, if my hypothesis is correct, nobody else knew that. Only a tight group knew. It's just like the moon landing. A tight group knew, not everybody. So everybody else thought they was working at NASA. They were doing their thing. They was typing on their little computers. Oh, we going up there. It's going to be so good. But it was a tight little group that knew this is all taking place on a Hollywood set. See, Hollywood is bigger than just these movies. See, there was a movie called Capricorn One put out in 1975 that told the whole story, starring O.J. Simpson before he got banned. He got banned from the industry. This was athlete and Hollywood darling. That's who OJ was. He could do anything you want to do. But when he fell out of grace, he got banned. But when he was in grace, he starred in a movie that told the story about NASA. But the difference in the movie is that it was about going to Mars. But the screenplay they got that from was about going to the moon. Let me tell you something, that they given you a line through education, public education for the most part. They're giving you a line that came through scientists that were really just Satanists, alchemists, witches.
Oof, Brother P, oh my goodness. I feel like we don't got enough time. We gotta bring it back.
they told you the sun was 90. My major was building construction technology. My major is also called civil engineering technology. I did surveying on the street, trigonometry, and they try, and I believe the line that the sun was 93 million miles away and all the planets was floating around the sun until one day when the evidence started coming together through the scriptures, and I read a chapter in Joshua, I believe the book of Joshua, where Joshua commanded the sun to stand still. Brother Phil, don't bring us that Enoch or Parker. They're saying this is in everybody's 66 books that they love so well. Joshua commanded the sun to stand still, and the Bible says that God did what Joshua commanded, and it said the sun and the moon stood still for a whole day, 24 hours. And the question anybody could ask from that situation that's in the scriptures, why would the sun have to stand still? Because it was moving. Now, I got some Christians, Holy Ghost filled, tongue Christian today, who's trying to say that scripture was wrong, because back then when they wrote those scriptures, now remember, the scriptures was written by the Holy Spirit, not by man. A man penned it, but it was the Holy Ghost that gave it. Yeah. And a lot of people don't know the science on that. So it didn't have to be written back then. The Holy Ghost gave it. But because you don't have the book of 2nd Ezra, you can't see how the Holy Ghost, God put the thing in the man's mouth and had him prophesying for 40 days while five scribes, like shorthand, copied everything he said. those books are here today. But I'm talking about a book that we all agree on all the Orthodox churches, the book of Joshua. And in that book, he said he commanded the sun to stand still, and it stood still for 24 hours. Now, the book of Enoch tells you how the sun is moving. So we had to create a scientific system to show you that the sun was not moving in the solar system to go to make it diametrically opposed to those Bible verses. Mm. So it's just the opposite. So we don't got to deal with no flat earth and get into no argument about that. Let's deal with the sun, which was created on the fourth day. And God said on the first day, let there be light. Yeah. And you'd be like, hold on, how could there be light on the first day? But the sun was created on the fourth day. Because that same sun in Revelations, the Bible says, there'll be no need for the sun or the moon, for his glory is going to fill the new Jerusalem that comes down out of heaven. Now, this is a thing that a Christian don't even believe. Mm-hmm. But to the Christians who have received the faith to actually believe that a city is going to come out of heaven and sit down on this earth. And I tell people, I say, that city is Jesus Christ himself. And you'd be like, well, how could it be Jesus? He told you it was him. He said in John 14, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Also believe in me. In my Father's house, there's many mansions. And then he said, he called us tabernacles of the Holy Spirit. We are a city filled with the Holy Ghost. Lights, when we go into darkness, guess what darkness got to do? It got to flee. See, because if I talk to Chris Rock, if I talk to Will Smith, if I talk to Jada at the red table, I'm going to bring the Bible to it. And I ain't got to bring no book. The Bible in me. And it's the love of Christ. I'm not coming to condemn her, condemn him, or condemn that one because they caught up in this system. Because Satan wants to destroy us through what? Pleasure. But any of us who went down the broad way to destruction, which is laced with pleasure, we know for a fact that it felt good, but at a certain point, it wasn't. I smoked that crack and it gave me the best feeling I ever had in my life. 10 years later, it's the worst thing in my life. Mm-hmm. It's destroyed my life. I messed around with that girl at 15, 16, 17, and it was the best feeling I ever had. 10, 12 years later, 5 trips to the free health clinic, and you realize that you got a degree from the clinic, and it's not a degree that you want to have. Mm-hmm. Tetracycline, amoxicillin, penicillin, all these things, and it's only all those things are doing, because every time I went through that system, I swore I was good after I got my medication from Pharmakia. Little did I know, I was tearing up my immune system, compromising my immune system. And the world keeps telling you, we got a pill, a shot, a thing to heal. But God is telling you, these signs will follow them that believe. They will speak in other tongues, cast out demons, lay hands on the sick, and they all shall recover. So somebody lying, somebody's not telling the truth, and it ain't Jesus. This is the way, the truth, and the life. No man coming to the Father, but no. Come and talk to me. Let's get it. I don't even go that deep into it because I know the pharmakia I was on was called marijuana. And I got my pharmakia out the street. I didn't get it from the pharmacy. I got it from the street pharmacy. And that was my medication. That was my Valium. That's how I, look how hype I am right now. I've always been like this. But the weed is how I self-medicated and I would calm down. But little did I know, my calming down, that was not the medication. I needed Holy Ghost. I needed Jesus in my life. But I had a temporary Jesus in, because there's more than one Jesus. I had a temporary Savior was weed, and weed calmed me down. But this weed had side effects, killing the brain cells.
Yep.
And I had problems when I stopped. When God took me off of that marijuana, I realized I had done damage to my brain. But he's so good, he'll forgive us, he'll heal us. And now my brain is sharp. I'm tight. I'm good with it.
Listen, I've been down that road before too. I don't know if I told you, but I dealt with that same pharmakia. I was in those Weed Man streets, And he had to wake me up too and be like, listen, I don't think you know what you into, or I don't think you realize how deep you are going, or what association, attachment, what cord you have on you. And this heaviness, what you think, like you said, is something that's bringing you joy, or you think this is bringing you some relief, is really just dragging you down further. And so as we are closing out with Brother P, I don't know about y'all, but Brother P is out here killing these streets, giving you some spiritual knowledge. I'm just hoping, like, I'm over here like, Lord, we got to stop so Brother P can pray over everybody to catch everything. If you didn't even catch it now, we ask Holy Spirit to catch it to you later. My dad used to say, listen to me now, but hear me later. Oh, we just praying for that, Brother P. So I'm going to stop and ask you if you could, with everything that you've been feeling in the spirit and the convictions that you are sensing that people really need to receive as an impartation, can you pray over our audience as it relates to these attachments? They're all obviously interlaced with each other. Entertainment, sports, the drugs, the pharmaceuticals, all of that. But can you literally release a fresh impartation for people to start to wake up from the distraction, from this veil that the enemy is trying to have the curtains over their eyes so they can't see clearly? Do you mind, Brother P?
We rebuke Satan in Yahshua's holy name.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the sword of the Spirit to cut every soul tie in Yahshua's name. We ask for the deliverance to set the captives free in Yahshua's mighty name. We ask for the healing power and the anointing of God to come in and to give power to those so they can resist the wiles of the devil in Jesus' mighty name. We love you, Heavenly Father. We thank you. We thank you for your joy. We thank you for your peace. Give them the real dope, which is the Holy Ghost, Heavenly Father, that they may be fulfilled with you, and give them a thirst and a hunger for the word, the written word of God, the scriptures, and fill them with the spirit of truth that they may have wisdom and understanding to know right from wrong. And all these things we ask in Yahshua's mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Woo! Receive it, Brother Peter. Receive it. Thank you so much. I felt that Holy Spirit jolt in there. Yes. So I know that it's been just an amazing time with you, Brother P. I will humbly ask you to come back because I feel like we didn't even get past the tip of the iceberg. We have a few more questions that our prayer watchers wanted to hear from you. But when Brother P's schedule is tight, y'all, I'm just trying to tell you, I've been talking to him since the beginning of the seasons. And we appreciate all of your love and support, Brother P, for joining us and for just imparting to us some things that I even need to go back and do some more research and study in, because I know that's the first time that I heard about that piece. We were talking about the sun. I think we talked about that before. And I was talking to myself about that. It's like, did you realize this? Did you hear this? We got to do our own study. So thank you so much for everything that you are sharing today. Thank you so much for just giving us some things to chew on. We know Holy Spirit is marinating and is resonating in hearts. And so as we are moving forward, I just want to talk to the people that may be tuning in that may not have that relationship that Brother P was talking about, that may not be in a position right now to know that they know that they know that their eternal life is going to be with Jesus. And if you are that person, I ask that you would just think twice. Think twice on whether or not you are going to get to see Jesus when your life expires, when your body expiration date comes. Do you know where you're going? And if you are that person that's feeling that inclination in your heart, because either you have had some attachments to all of these things that could be idols or these little G gods that we've been talking about, if you are that person that wants to get free, and the only way to start that true freedom is to have a relationship with Yahushua, then I humbly ask you to get before the Lord right now. Don't wait. Do not wait, because you do not know when he's coming back or when your time is up. So we ask that right now that you would just take a moment to make this eternal decision for your life. And if you're ready to ask him to be your savior and acknowledge that you are a sinner and that you need Jesus as your savior, Yahushua HaMashiach, to cleanse you from that unrighteousness, then I ask that you would pray this prayer with us that we place on the screen. And so let's recite it together. God, I come to you asking for forgiveness. I confess that I am a sinner in need of a savior. I believe that you sent your son, Yahushua, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross, paying the penalty for my sins. And he was raised from the grave and is alive right now and coming again. I confess you as my Lord and personal savior. Jesus, come into my heart and save me now. In your name I pray. Amen. Oh, if you were a person, if you were that one person that may have said that prayer just now, we are rejoicing with you.
Amen.
We are rejoicing that you may have been the one. The word says that the shepherd leaves the 99 to come back for the one. So you might have been that one that he just came back for and was looking for. And so we are excited, and all of heaven is having a praise party. They getting down right now because your name has been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And so if you are ready to start that journey, you on fire, you like, what am I supposed to do now with all of this Holy Ghost filled energy? Then we invite you to join our community, Midnight Prayer Watcher community. Get connected to some of the resources that we have. Start your discipleship journey by getting connected to a local church. Sometimes that church is not in a building. I'm gonna just call it what it is. Sometimes your local church is your family, like Brother P was saying earlier. Sometimes your local church is that prayer circle, that support group that you know that you wanna continue to walk forward in the path of the righteous. That path is not wide, it's not broad, and many will not find it.
That's right.
We've got to make sure that we crucify our flesh and find that fellowship together. So stay connected to us. We definitely want you to be in a position where you know that you are working your salvation out with what? Fear and trembling. We talk about that all the time. We all in that, and we are not precluded from that at all. So stay connected to us. We just want to thank Brother P again for being our special, very, very special guest. Brother P, is there anything you want to say to our prayer watchers?
No, I just I appreciate the host for having me on, and I just thank God for all the people that I've met over the years. I've written a book. It's not for everybody, but it's called Did I Just Join a Cult? And also I got music, but God is on the throne, and everything that's before you is not necessarily good for you. So you have to pray and ask, and so that the Lord can order your steps. And sometimes in those steps, you might end up in a bad place. But if you're his, you're coming out with a testimony and a message. In Jesus' name.
Yes, yes, absolutely, Brother P. Thank you again. We appreciate you. Please come back on and let's continue to keep unpacking this prayer point with our prayer watchers and our audience.
Amen.
So thank y'all. We appreciate, again, tuning in. It is Midnight Prayer Watch. Everybody make sure you stay up. We always talking about that. We got to watch and pray. Stay awake. Stay alert this season. Don't get slapped and not know what that slap is about. And stay washed in the word, y'all.